Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I am delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished lady from the Middle East, Rukia Khan. Rukia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Thank you.
Rukia is the founder of Smiletastic, a smile strategist. So, Rukia, let's talk about Smiletastic. What is a smile strategist?
Smile strategist is me, because I haven't ever met another smile strategist. The reason I call myself a smile strategist is because I have an acronym for SMILE, mm-hmm. which is the brand, which is me. Mm-hmm. And I use that as the foundation of all the mindset workshops that I do, the webinars, the coaching. So that has become me. Mm-hmm. So I call myself a smile strategist.
Okay. And what is your acronym for SMILE?
It is silence the mind, mm-hmm. manage your attention, mm-hmm. identify the intention, let things go, mm-hmm. and energize the possibilities.
Wow. And why don't you talk to me about each of these in a little more detail?
Before I do that, I'd like to share with you why and how the smile came about.
Okay.
See, I'm someone who always jumps at an opportunity. I'm not the one who'll wait till I'm ready. I'll just, if an opportunity comes my way, I'll say yes and I'll take it up. And that's how TEDx happened for me. Mm-hmm. And when I got the opportunity to do TEDx speech, I didn't have a message. I knew what I wanted to convey, but I didn't have a message, like, you know, a speech in place. And the smile was literally given to me. It mm-hmm. was downloaded. And the smile is important because when we are stuck in a situation, mm-hmm. we move from feeling stuck to unstuck using gratitude and acceptance. And mm-hmm. I say acceptance comes.
Okay. So, you know, when I was reading about you, you did mention that our subconscious limiting beliefs and disrupted pursuits of happiness. Help me understand this with maybe an example.
Okay. So growing up, we want to, the sky's the limit, right? Where you want to be an astronaut, you want to be a film star, you want to be a painter and everything. And then you grow up to have a desk job. Mm-hmm. You grow up to become somebody that your parents wanted you to become. So these are disrupted pursuits of happiness. Mm-hmm. These are subconscious limiting beliefs that we impose on ourselves, thinking that, oh, if I became a painter, I might not earn enough because, you know, somebody else had said that. So it kind of settles in into your subconscious. Mm-hmm. So when I work with somebody, I help them uncover what are some limiting beliefs that they have taken upon themselves as labels, perhaps. And how do you then move past that so that you have a more fulfilling life?
Okay. And what is your role when you come across such an individual or a group of individuals?
Well, I work largely with high school students, mm-hmm. Students who've just joined university, because on both ends, their identity is about to shift. I work a lot with people who are looking to transition into a new way of being. And my role over there is to help them identify, again, as I said, the labels, also to identify what is that tangle of thoughts that's going on in their mind, and how can they untangle it and look more clearly and with focus in life. And so I also help people to reset for success. That's my role there.
Okay. And, you know, again, when I was reading about you, it's very interesting, but you deal with a lot of stresses and challenges people generally face. Two questions. What are the kind of stresses and challenges, and where do you come in?
Okay. So the kind of stresses, let's just be honest here. The whole world is under stress at the moment, absolutely. Right? When we look at the pandemic and the way it's changed, the way the life has evolved, actually. I think it's more of an evolutionary situation that we are in, because we're evolving from the way we used to be to the new normal, right? Because people are like, I wonder when things are going to get back to normal. The normal keeps evolving, and we need to come to terms with that. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, the kind of stresses people can have is academic stress when you look at students, productivity stress, you know, when we're looking at the corporate space, we're looking at health stresses, we're looking at relationship stresses. These are the common stresses that I come in to address with a smile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And my next question is that how does smiling help release stress-free relationships?
So when you are under stress, what happens is your body tends to, and I'm going to look into the biological part of it, your body creates cortisol, which is the stress hormone. Right. And when your body is releasing cortisol, all your energy is going towards kind of creating that balance in your body with the cortisol levels going up, and your body's fighting it literally, because that's not the normal way to be. You are born to be happy, literally. However, if you are going to go against the norm, your body is going to fight back to bring your levels back down and make you adjust to what's going on. So how I come in and what I do is I help you kind of bring that down. When something as simple as a breathing exercise, the first step, as you had asked me earlier, silence the mind. The very first step of it is to silence the mind is breathing. If you just focus on your breathing, and there's meditation as well, but let's just look into breathing as one of the techniques. You are breathing and focusing on your breath and a count. If you do the square breath, let's do this actually, Ashutosh. Put your hand on your chest and the other hand on your belly. Tell me which hand is moving more, the one on the chest or the belly? Which one is it?
My one on my chest.
Yeah, so you're breathing, you're shallow breathing. To breathe more effectively, you need to fill your lungs. And for that to happen, your diaphragm needs to expand, which means...
Correct. And you're absolutely right, because every day my yoga teacher tells me the same thing, that you have to breathe from your stomach.
Breathe from your belly, belly breathe. Focusing on your breath definitely helps you with bringing down the cortisol levels. You're pumping in oxygen. You're aiding your body deal with the new stuff better. That's... how it helps.
What a great example, and thank you for reminding me. Rukhya, you work with several companies. You mentioned that you work with a lot of school students and college students, but you also work with many companies. Give me an example of how people have felt a difference after your session.
I won't pop names, but
no names.
Oh. Yeah. So I was at a corporate training, and the immediate impact was lots of smileys being drawn on, you know, the workshops as well. Smiles being posted across the offices. People actually holding each other accountable. You know, if a colleague finds the other one grumpy or finds the other one in a fixed situation, they'll say, okay, so you need to manage your attention, or you need to let that go if they're upset about something. You know, each one becoming the other person's accountability partner, and the whole ambience, the whole atmosphere in the place has actually shifted, and it's become more lighter and more conducive to productivity.
Very interesting. So, Rukhya, I'm now going to move to the next segment, which is some questions for you personally. You know, all my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. My first question to you is, and you're very young, but what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career as of now?
My three key milestones. I think the very first one would be the Gulf War of 1990. And I'm just giving away my age. I was in grade 10 then. And it was a turning point, because that was a decision that was imposed upon me to move from being in my home of 14 years to India and to continue my higher education there. It was not a decision we consciously took. It was a decision that was imposed on us. So the Gulf War is definitely one of the milestones. The second one would be my decision to start doing more in life than diapers and dishes. As a young mom with two children, I felt, what could I do with my life more than just, you know, being a mom? Of course, all respect to mums, and I am one myself. But what I'm saying is, what more could I do with what I've been given? That was one of the other milestones. And I think the last but not the least was when I went on a downward spiral when the children left for university. Mm-hmm. And that was also the time when my father passed on. And that left me in a very challenging space. Mm. That was definitely a milestone.
Interesting. So as a smile guru, what are some of the core values you believe in?
I believe in authenticity. I believe in authenticity.
Okay.
I believe in kindness, mm-hmm. and also in being true with your emotions, vulnerability. I'm okay with not being okay. And as I said, and as you asked me for milestones, I chipped in something that was a downward spiral. Not many people would do that. Mm. Because for me, that was life changing.
Right. Interesting. And moving on, you know, you gave me some very interesting milestones. But as you look back at life, what does success mean to Rukhya?
Might sound very cliche, but success means to be able to smile. Mm-hmm. Like with completely, you know, there are people who, there have been times, why should I call people? I mean, there have been times where I faked a smile because that was expected of me. Mm-hmm. But I think success to me is that moment where I can smile through and through, like each and every cell of my body is smiling with joy, with content and satisfaction, where I've touched lives. And that's why I do what I do.
Very interesting. And a follow-up question to success is, who or what inspires you to keep doing such amazing things?
My children, by default. Mm-hmm. It is definitely my children, because I started out on this adventure with words because I knew they were watching. Mm-hmm. I started writing my career 2000 in with the intention of doing a little bit more in life. Mm-hmm. And my son at the time was 8 months old. Mm-hmm. My daughter had just started school. And the realization that this is, they are observing me and they are making note of how a mom can be. They are making note of how a wife can be. And it works with both of them, you know, for my son as well as my daughter. So okay. This is who I am for them.
Okay. You know, you mentioned India also, and my next question is on failure.
Yes.
And I've often said parents in South Asia don't teach children it's okay to fail. We are always taught come first in class, go to the head of the line, etc. And yet we fail, we learn.
Yeah.
So my question to you, Rukhya, is what have been your learnings from some of your mistakes?
My learnings from my mistakes is it's okay to have a mistake, because I believe in failing fast, failing forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about I shouldn't fail, because every failure is an experience. Of course, you come to that point of realization, and in the face of failure, you feel like I failed. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to allow yourself some room to come to a place of acceptance. Yes, that I aimed for this. I didn't get there. What can I do next?
Mm-hmm.
So again, the smile strategy definitely helps over there as well, because it's giving you that allowance to first silence your mind. All of those thoughts that come up when, you know, when you fail that, oh, I've failed. Even now when I say it's not that I am a failure, but I have failed. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. So one more question and then we move to another segment. If you, Rukhya, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
Holding back.
Mm-hmm.
It might sound ironic, because sometime back I said I jump at opportunities, and mm-hmm. I do. However, there are some times that I do hold back.
Mm-hmm.
I think those moments I would like to change.
Okay.
And I would like to assess whether I'm holding back because I just need to adjust myself, align myself better, or is it an afterthought that I'm having? So I need to come to that alignment and then.
Very interesting. So Rukhya, now I'm going to move to the last segment. You're also a life coach. I'll ask you a couple, two or three questions on life coach. Let's start with helping me understand, what is life coaching?
Life coaching. To me, I see a life coach more as a lantern. Mm-hmm. So if a client was in a situation where they're lost in a dark cave, the life coach would walk in as the lantern, would be that lantern that they can pick up along with them and walk through that dark space that they are in to find their way around. And also it's the life coach is also being the lantern, and you may have used a lantern, you know, so you can kind of tweak the setting of the light, brighter and lighter. So when you want to dim it down, when you're not ready so much for the light, or you're a little afraid, then you can still dim down the questions with the coach. And when you're ready truly to take action and move forward, then you brighten it up further, and then you find your way around. So for me, that's what life coaching is all about.
Very interesting. And based on your experience, who should look for a life coach?
Everyone should look for a life coach. Everyone needs a coach, because, you know, we are in that frame of life. We are in our own frames of life. We can't see what is within us, what is missing, what could be added, you know, what could be changed or corrected. We are so in our everyday life that we fail to see it. A coach helps you see that.
Okay.
So having a coach is something that is precious, and it will definitely lead to better results.
Wonderful. So Rukhi, I've got time for two more questions.
Yes,
how long should a coaching association be?
How long should a coaching association be truly depends on what results you're looking for and how much effort you're putting into it. The E in my smile strategy is energize the possibilities. And you can't spell a smile without the E, because you could do all of the first 4 points of it. But if you don't put energy into the possibilities, you're not going to get results. So people engage coaches, and then if they don't put in the action, you know, the accountability, they don't put in what needs to get done, then obviously the association would take too long, or you could very well just make the excuse of saying the coach wasn't good enough.
Well said. And my last question to you, from the perspective of a coachee, how does the coachee evaluate that I have a good coach?
I think results speak. And it's a double relationship. It's a give and take relationship, right? Where I give you a question and you need to give me the answer, right? And I need to ask you the right questions. However, you also need to honor your answers. So that's when the collaboration works hand in hand, and you make progress. So that's when you know that the relationship is good. For instance, you can have a coach in anyone. I'll give you a simple example. It was 6 to 7 months since Papa's passing, and I was struggling. I was struggling. I wasn't coaching. I wasn't speaking, writing, nothing. I literally put my life on pause. And then I got the opportunity to go meet my kids. And this was in April in Perth, and we were on a bus ride. And I'm sitting with my son, and he looks straight at me and he says, "So, Ma, what have you been up to?" South Asian mother pushes it away, saying, "You can't speak to me like that. I am your mother." But being the child that he is, he says, "All of that is fine, but what about accountability?" That was a coaching question straight at me, thrown at me. And I don't know, I might have asked him that question sometime, or he must have picked it up. I don't know where from it came, but that question made me think. That question made me think that, yes, he is right. What about accountability? I started this out because I wanted to be accountable for what I've been given. Here I am wallowing, and I've had enough of that. So now let's do something else. And so after I came back to base in UAE, I started and committed myself to do daily videos, live videos, because I was struggling to even get out of bed. I said, what could I do to present? And so I started on May 1st, 2018. And today will be day 1,233. 3 of that commitment.
Wow.
After day of showing up.
Amazing. What incredible commitment. And on that happy note, Rukia, thank you so much. It has been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me about Smiletastic, talking to you about me about your incredible philosophy of smiling and happiness obviously goes with that. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh. And before we close, I also wanted to mention that Smiletastic is the name given by my daughter.
Wow.
So smile and fantastic. She said, Ma, you talk about smile and that's fantastic. So Smiletastic, that's the name.
What a fabulous input for you. Thank you again.
Thank you again, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.